Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, unexplained shadows haunt a young girl late at night alone in her bedroom. A tall, dark, bony figure only shows itself at night once the lights have gone out. And a CD makes a haunting reappearance even after it's been destroyed. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Website, all new, revamped. Same stuff. Content is up there, but it's been revamped to be easier to use and all that. realghoststoriesonline.com to submit your story to us. You love the show. You want to keep us on the air. $5 a month is all it is. To become an extra podcast person, that's where you get the bonus episodes every week exclusively for you guys. Check those out. You get access to all those. Also get all the advanced episodes at ghostpodcast.com, or you can sign up through Patreon if you prefer that. The link there, ghostpodcast.com, to go to Patreon as well. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you today. And how are you this fine day?
I'm good.
In the headlines there, it actually jogged my memory of, this is not a ghostly thing, but I did have a CD in the last year that I thought I had thrown away. Pretty damn sure I did throw it away. And then I went back to go check this box that I had cleared out just to see if it was still there because it came up in conversation. And oh my God, it was still there. And I didn't know. I was like, oh, I guess I didn't throw it away. I was going through just all these old radio things, and you just accumulate CDs over the years when you do what we do. And, you know, especially back in the day when we got tons of CDs, and I was just getting rid of stuff that I was just, you know, trash. I don't want this anymore. And the CD I thought I had thrown away was Garth Brooks as Chris Gaines, the Chris Gaines album.
Oh,
and it was the original one. It was from back in the day when they released it. And I was like, I'm good.
Everybody was like, WTF, before WTF was really a thing.
It was.
But everybody was like that. What is this?
What the hell is this? And for those of you who are under the age of 22, 23, at about 1998 or so, Garth Brooks was at the height of his career, and he decided he was going to create a second identity, and there was supposed to be a movie about this other identity. There was a Behind the Music special about it that did air, and there was supposed to be
a fake one.
Yeah, it was fake, but it aired as on VH1 like Behind the Music.
Yeah.
And people... It was supposed to be this. He was going to try like a year of doing this other character. And it was a rock star. It wasn't even a country star. And it looked like a totally different person. He really did have that 90s kind of grungy-esque look, but he didn't do grungy music. He did just kind of adult contemporary songs. And he had one hit called Lost in You, and it was an okay song. And the rest of the album kind of sucked. But it all kind of went to hell. It never got beyond the music and the album, and then people were just confused and it ended. But
I think he did it all out of order. I think had he done a movie that people were interested in, then you could have come up out with a soundtrack. Then you could have done a fake. Yeah. I think it was just all backwards.
Yeah, I think he was too eager to get the music out before everything else was in place.
Knowing Garth, like, you know, he and I are best friends. But, like, his brain never stops. And so he probably had this great idea. And the music wasn't quite right for him as Garth. So he's like, I've got an idea.
Yeah.
And he put it out as this other person.
And he obviously had the success and the following and the money to be able to let that thing fail and just keep on trucking and without skipping a beat. And he did. But it was an interesting thing. And it was a weird album, but it was one of those things where, you know, you see it and you're like, oh my God, I remember that. That was a weird, you know, disaster in music history. And I thought I had thrown it out, but then I went back. Oh my God, it's still here. So I don't know if there's like some sort of supernatural power in my house that said, you must still have the Chris Gaines Lost
and
in You
probably
album.
Probably the only one who still really has it, or at least knows where it is.
There's no more.
Did you listen to it?
I only remember Lost.
Do you
in
have
you.
A CD player now?
Somewhere. I don't know where. Like in my, I don't even think my computers have CD drives anymore. I didn't. This
you
one.
No, I saw Garth last week.
Yeah.
And it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. It was him and a guitar in Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. It holds 20,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
There was maybe 400 to 500 people in there.
Wow.
Three in this ginormous arena. Here's Garth on stage, just him and a guitar, just for like 90 minutes.
That's cool.
It was pretty cool. And he was taking questions from people, but they didn't have somebody walking around with a mic or anything,
mm-hmm.
so you couldn't hear him. But somebody asked him about Chris Gaines.
Really? What was the question?
You couldn't hear the question.
Oh, okay.
And he said, oh, Chris Gaines. Yeah, he basically was like, yeah, we don't have to talk about that. it just kind of went on.
I bet he's so sick of that random question just kind of popping up at all venues that he goes to.
Really? Do you not know who sings Friends in Low Places?
It's going to be one guy that's going to bring up Chris Gaines.
And if I have some highlights. That ain't on the highlight reel.
Yeah. It will
Did
haunt
you know
him.
I got a million people to see me in Central Park?
But what about Chris Gaines? Let's talk about,
to talk about Chris Gaines.
There you go. That's great. That's fun. I think maybe someday he'll come back as Chris Gaines just for one
no,
more.
I don't think he will.
Maybe just one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Coming up, we're going to talk about a news story of educators deciding that they needed to have an exorcism in their school because it was an all-girls school and they thought some of the girls were possessed. We'll let you make your judgment if you think it's that or whatnot. And we get to that story in just a little bit. 855-853-4802. Our number, let's go to our first story of today. It says, I've had some paranormal stuff happen my entire life. I can write in much more. I'll tell you about my first encounter. I don't know if this was a ghost or something more evil, but here it goes. When I was 4 years old, my dad built his first house. Our house sat up high on top of a hill that was on the side of a mountain. My brother, who was 10 and a half months younger than me, shared a bedroom with me across from my parents' bedroom. We had bunk beds. Where's my bell? I gotta ring it. There we go. Bunk bed. I can't really hear. I gotta put the mic down. There we go. Bunk bed. It's been a while since I've done that. We both always see this black shadow. It was about 4 feet tall and looked like a giant teddy bear that wore a Viking hat. We could never see its features, though. It was always watching us, no matter where we were in the house, and it was always there. It was around so much that we weren't afraid of it. We knew it was bad in a way, but our mom always told us that God wouldn't let monsters harm us. My two cousins, who were a year older than me, came to spend the night one night. We had our sleeping bags on the floor of our bedroom. We were lying down, talking. My cousin looks over and points at the shadow and says, "What is that?" I laughed at him and said, "It's the monster, but I can't do anything. Don't be scared." And I stuck my tongue out at it. A few days later, or weeks later, I can't remember, I woke up and it seemed to be climbing the ladder of our bunk. Or it was seemingly climbing the ladder of our bunk beds. I slept on the top bunk. I was very curious as to what it exactly was. I scooted to the end of the bed and was sitting there where the ladder came up. The shadow stopped on the ladder. It was eye level with me. We sat there for several minutes. I still couldn't see its features, but it was right in front of my face, just standing there on the ladder. I finally reached out and touched its shoulder. It seemed to freak out almost. It was almost as if it was scared. It felt like it grabbed me by the back and pulled me even closer. Then I could see its features, and it still gives me the chills to this day. It looked like it had hair all over its body with multiple faces covering its body. Each face had large, sharp teeth. And in all of its eyeballs, it looked terrified. I, of course, being completely now hysterical, screamed at the top of my lungs and was crying. And we're praying and ordering it to go away. My mom told us that we could do that if we were ever scared. I do remember my mom coming into my bedroom and taking me to bed with her. As an adult, she told me that after that incident the next morning, I had scratches all over my back and I was completely terrified to sleep by myself. My brother never woke up through the entire ordeal, and I never saw that thing again. However, my brother had an encounter with the same thing in our basement several weeks later. After this encounter, though, I have had paranormal things happen to me my entire life, no matter where I have lived. Well, that's a creepy way of seeing the features of the shadow person. Seeing
that's like the grossest sounding monster I've ever heard of. Like, that just grossed me out.
Multiple heads everywhere.
Well, yeah. All the eyeballs and faces, something about that. Oh. And now I'm going to go to bed tonight, and I'm going to see it.
I'm thinking that's not your friendly neighborhood shadow person that's just kind of hanging out.
You think?
Like, oh, well, I can't help I look this way, but yeah.
Hey, just came by to say hey. Yeah. No, that's just gross. Like, what? What?
Yeah. I have no idea what to make of that, other than there was something that lurking.
In that story, did he say, like, because I was so grossed out by that monster. Like, after his mom said the scratches and everything, mm-hmm. did he continue to see it?
There was not really said, but it did say that throughout the rest of his life has had other encounters with things.
So other encounters with other things or other encounters with that, maybe. I don't know.
It seemed kind of...
Hell, I'd be like, I can only handle one of those encounters in my life.
Yeah. Nothing I think I'd want to ever run into in the dark. Yeah. The administrators at a high school are being taken to task by their supervisors after it was revealed that they enlisted an exorcist to help a group of seemingly possessed students. Teenage girls started doing bizarre activities like breaking chairs and shouting loudly, according to some of the administrators. When some of their concerned classmates attempted to help the troubled youngster, they also began exhibiting similar bizarre behavior. According to the school's principal, the group of five teenage girls remained possessed for the next 3 or 4 days, and their condition appeared to be getting worse. Upon hearing of the story, a member of the education board called for an investigation into the case. Meanwhile, a leading rationalist in the area lambasted the administrator, saying, "An educated individual should have the sense to distinguish between superstition and the facts." This happened in India, so it wasn't like in Indiana, thank goodness. But still, the fact that we're somewhere in the world where, I don't know, this is like the immediate reaction. I remember being in high school and some kids breaking chairs and talking loudly. Possession really wasn't the first thing that was on my mind.
Yeah, like when I was in high school, it was acid. That would have been the first thing I would have thought of. They're doing acid.
You mean not the devil? Yeah.
But, you know, it just, that whole story reminded me of the Salem witch trials. And I think with that, they determined there was some sort of disease or sickness that actually was making some people act strangely.
Sure.
It had nothing to do with being possessed or them being witches.
Yeah.
So it sounds very much like that.
There's a concern out there now with, I saw an article this last week about it, about chronic wasting disease, which is very similar. Remember the mad cow scare of like 2001 or 2002? Where it was like, don't eat the meat. And you don't have
which
to
worry about it. Which I was vegetarian.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm like, what? I paid no attention to that.
Which is why you became a vegetarian, all because of the mad cow scare. You just stuck with it. It was a big thing back then. But the chronic wasting disease affects deer. And there's all different areas, obviously, where people hunt. And it's like a zombie type state of what it puts these deer into. The way that they're kind of rebranding this to make people a little more scared of it, and just to be, I think, more aware, because chronic wasting, it sounds scary, but it's like, it's almost in line with like, what's the disease where they kind of lose fur and they look kind of raggedy. I'm trying to think of that.
Like mange?
Like mange, yeah. You hear that like, oh, it's kind of like mange, but it's not. This is something where it eats the brain. And it kind of ends up making all these little holes in the brain, and it's like a sponge.
Oh.
And then these animals, they still function, but they have a weird appetites. They lose all sense of fear of people or really anything at all. And they just kind of go out there and try and eat things. But they live for a while. Eventually it does take over their brain and they do die. But for a while, they're kind of zombie-like, and they'll do anything. And they're just out there. They become more aggressive. So people are concerned that yet hunters out there that they're, they see a deer off in the distance, they shoot it, they kill it, because it doesn't necessarily present itself physically. You don't see a bunch of big patches of fur missing. They don't physically look like they're super sick animals. You only know that if you actually do an autopsy and look into their brain and go, oh, shit. And it has not passed over to humans yet, but studies have shown that this can pass over to other mammals, including, I believe it's been tested and it has been able to be passed from a deer to other primates, like a monkey of sorts.
I tell you, as long as they don't pass it to lettuce or kale or beans.
You're fine, then. You're going to be like the last one standing as we're all eating our deer. Although I'm the last of my deer.
But now it gives me one more thing to be freaked out by. Yeah. Like, is one just going to stand in the middle of the road staring at me or something?
Then he's going to come and try to
daring me to hit it.
Eat your headlight and then just break through your window.
Move, please, deer, move.
Take an ear. But the concern is that people are going to get their deer meat and it's going to be passed into them by eating the actual meat. And then you have zombies, kind of, you know, I don't know.
I just think you've now successfully turned off everyone who's listening to this from deer meat.
Well, there you go. It's
zombie deer meat.
It's not the other white meat this year. Sorry, kids. No venison for you this year. My family up in Wisconsin, there's a lot of hunters up there that they go hunting every year, and then they have their jerky and their meat sticks and all that. I remember like having that as a kid. I know the last time I ate
this
deer.
Year at Christmas, you'll be like, nah, no thanks.
I'm good.
Gave up deer. Sorry.
I got my mushroom jerky over here and my mushroom sticks. I'm all good. So hope everybody enjoys their zombie deer meat, because you're all going to be dead by Easter. There you go. Let's go to our next story. It says, I sent this story in a couple of days ago about something grabbing me. And my mom, we got another bell. My bunk bed as a child. I have so many. Here's one that happened when I was in high school. I lived in a really big house that my dad built on an old plantation in Virginia. So many things happened to that house. I could write a book. My little cousin was in preschool. She loved to sing and dance using a karaoke machine that our grandma had bought her. She loved my music. So every time they would come over to my house where there were tons of paranormal activity, I would make her a CD with different songs using my computer that was in our basement office. I come home from school one day, and my mom is demanding to know if I made her a CD recently. She then tells me that my cousin was at her house singing and dancing to the CD and all of a sudden went hysterical. She kept screaming and crying that the woman was watching her and trying to get her. She refused to go into a hallway that was off the living room and kept pointing at nothing my aunt could see. This continued for the rest of the day. Finally, at bedtime, my aunt started to see weird lights on their bedroom ceiling. My other cousin, who was also in high school at the time, had a bedroom across the hall. He had massively heavy closet doors that had a broken track. They'd been leaning up against the wall for months. In the middle of the night, they were slammed down. The next day, my aunt was running errands and runs into a good friend that was very religious. My aunt didn't mention anything to her friend about what had happened, and her friend then tells her that something awful was in her house. They needed to go there right away. My aunt asked her what she thought was in the house, and her friend said that she could see the form of an angry, ugly woman running around the house and that she was planning to harm the family. My aunt then tells her what had happened the day and the night before. My aunt was so scared, they went back to the house with both of my cousins, blessed each room, and said many prayers. They broke my CD up and burned it. Their father, who was not really in the picture at the time, would mail the kids stuff. At the same time this incident took place, he had mailed them witchcraft materials. My aunt had thrown them in the trash. This would have been in the trash at the same time the CD from my house was playing. My cousins and my aunt are religious and have never practiced witchcraft. What do you think it was? Do you think this thing came from my house? From whatever their dad had sent? I have found that my two cousins are pretty sensitive, like my brother and I are. Well, I'm going to guess that the mix CD with Backstreet Boys, OMC, How Bizarre, Shaggy, and a little bit of NSYNC were probably not the catalyst for the paranormal activity. The Witchcraft of the Month box might have been a little more responsible.
I mean, it's logical to me.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about that.
The devil's music. I want it that way.
Tell me why.
I got a witchcraft box from Dad.
You're possessed.
Yeah, that's a little awkward. I wonder, I mean, why on earth? What the hell? I mean, what the hell is the dad thinking? I mean, that you're sending your kid. Is he like trying to put a hex on the mom? Like, hey, kids, fuck Candyland. Make some of these things up, and we're going to be back in business in no time, and mom will be out of the picture. What is he thinking?
Well, that's what happens when your ex-husband's a warlock. I'm telling you.
Shit just got real. I wonder if there's a box for that, like a box where, like, every month you can get. I mean, this sounds like it happened way before the box service stuff was a thing, but, like, if there's a box where every month you can get materials for, like, putting hexes on stuff. And I know there's good witches out there, so I'm not referring to that. I'm not referring to, like, white Wiccans or anything of that nature. I'm referring, like, on the dark side of things. Is there a box where it's, like, voodoo, you know, thing of the month? I don't know.
This would be a good time to tell you that. First, maybe I've told you this before.
You're
setting that up? My first boyfriend was a warlock. Which is so funny.
Your first...
It's so funny. He had a good job, but you know when you're really young and things that are deal breakers now, like, yeah. You know, employment.
Yeah.
Unemployment's a deal breaker to me.
Sure.
Smoking's a deal breaker. Warlock, I'll still go out with you. Like, he's really good looking.
He's only a warlock. I didn't even know that it was a thing. I mean, I know, like
I let it go because I'm like, he's so cute. And he's 10 years older than me. Okay, so he's a warlock, whatever.
Okay. Now, I am somewhat familiar with, like, Wiccan and some of those practices, like the more pure, not the dark, I'm going to put a spell on you type of things.
He would just tell me he was going to put hexes on me.
Jesus.
And sometimes I wonder if he did.
So how did he practice his warlockism? I don't even know if that's the right way to say.
One time I didn't want to be around, like the hex stuff. I'm like, you know.
Did he do, like, ceremonies?
I'm going to go have some beer with my friends. But he would threaten, like, if I didn't do what he wanted me to do. Oh, I'm going to put a hex on you. I'm like, go ahead. I remember one night saying, hex away. It ain't going to work. Just go ahead. Try it.
You go hex. Wow.
Because we are breaking up.
Well, that's a new one.
So maybe what we don't know is her father was my ex-boyfriend.
There we go. All the dots have been connected right there.
Thank you.
My when I was doing a morning show in Michigan, the first co-host I had was just one day, you know, 3 days into it, you're starting to get to know the person a little bit. You're talking about stuff. And she just goes, like, right before we had to come out of, like, 50 Cent in the club, she's like, oh, I'm a witch. What? And I don't know what this even means. I mean, I didn't. All I knew, like, the closest I knew of witch was, like, either Wicked Witch of the West at that time or the Disney movie with Sarah Jessica Parker in it. So I'm like, what the fuck? It's like, oh, it's 50 Cent in the club. So you're a witch.
Like, I don't want to talk about that on the air.
Yeah, it was kind of awkward.
How dare you bring that up?
It was kind of awkward. And then she explained to me what it all meant. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I just associated that more. I didn't know it was, like, actually openly called witch. I thought it was more like kind of paganism and, you know, worshiping of earth and things of that nature. And I'm probably fucking up. Nobody take offense. I don't mean any offense by any of that. It's just I didn't understand what it was at the time. And that's fine. I totally respect that. It was just, you know, at the moment, like, what the hell if you don't know anything about it?
Well, and if my ex-boyfriend is listening, I do mean offense because I don't like him.
And stop mailing your kids fucking shit like that. Like, it didn't.
Like, that's just stupid. Like, yeah, that should be the takeaway.
Yeah.
That everyone gets right now. Don't go sending kids witch things.
Don't go sending your kids witch things. I won't go sending my kids witch things.
Because the kids want the latest little toy things, whatever Harper's winning right now. Yeah. That's why you send your kid.
Well, that's why Harp gets, like, the Ouija of the Month Club, and she gets a new Ouija board every month. And
God, as soon as I said that, of course she does.
Hex of the week. Like, oh, shit. Oh, honey, your hex of the week came in. Oh, great. I'm going to put a hex on little Damien at school. He's been a real ass this week.
Like, oh, God. Okay, Harper, let's do it together.
It's father-daughter bonding time. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next story. I have many ghost stories, and we'll post them here separately. This is one of the more impressive ones that I've gotten, though. I was asleep one night when I awoke realizing that I couldn't breathe. Now I have several cats, and on occasion, they'll lie down on my face while sleeping. Such is their way. A wise person once told me the one thing to always remember about cats is if they were bigger, they'd eat you. So I assume that this is what was happening. However, when I was fully awake, I realized that I couldn't move. And furthermore, that it was my pillow that was covering my face. I was lying on my side and the pillow I had on my head was on was folded up over my face. So once again, I assumed a cat had just slipped under there, but that wasn't it. I started to panic because I couldn't move. I also couldn't breathe. Now, the pillow just wasn't covering my face. It was being pressed into my face. I finally was able to, using all my might, move my head just a little bit back and forth. After a couple of seconds of that, the pillow suddenly dropped from my face, and standing right next to my bed was this tall, thin death figure, except all in white like a skeleton in a long, heavy, hooded robe that covered all but the hands. Where the face would be was just ethereal whiteness. Within a split second, this figure reached down, grabbed my bedspread, pulled it over my face, and held it tight, trying to suffocate me again. I thought, this thing is going to kill me. I have to do something. But again, I couldn't move. I was paralyzed. Then I remembered that I had been studying up on auras, and I realized this was my only chance. Again, with all my might, I envisioned an energy field around me, and when it had solidified, I pushed it as hard as I could towards this thing by my bed. Suddenly, the bedspread flew off my face and nearly off the bed, and I was able to see this thing being flung back to wherever it came from. It just quickly flew back away from the bed, getting smaller and smaller until it disappeared. When it was gone, I was suddenly able to move again, so I immediately jumped out of bed and flung all the lights and started screaming and crying, still being frightened out of my mind. I couldn't stop screaming and crying about it for 2 days. I had truly felt like someone had just tried to kill me. I couldn't go to work. I couldn't do anything. It took about a week for me to be able to go back into my bedroom, and then about a month for me to be able to go to sleep without having all the lights on. People who know this event ask me how I could still live there. I tell them, if something evil is out to get you, it will find you wherever you are. Moving that won't change. Thoughts?
I would move. But I mean,
but it will find you.
About point made about the it could follow you, but I don't necessarily think everything would follow you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been proven many times. I mean, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes moving is the solution.
I mean, why not try?
Yeah, at least give it a shot.
Like when your lease is up and you can afford to and all that. But, like, that's messed up.
Yeah. Like, you had your childhood home that obviously had a lot of stuff going on in it. After you left, did you feel like anything from that home, specifically from that home, had followed you?
No. And I always get kind of freaked out by that. Like certain, I don't know. There's just times where I've been like I always think of it like it's going to stick to me. Mm-hmm. I don't want this feeling to stick to me and me take it home. But nothing ever. Well, I mean, I do live in a house that does weird things to me, but...
But it's not haunted.
It's not haunted. Let's remember that. And I don't think it is. So maybe it is sticking to me somewhat, but... Like, something that dark.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what would be the reason why something would... I wish I knew more. But, like, what would cause that, number one?
Mm-hmm.
Like, something to be that angry at you, it's trying to kill you.
And, you know,
and would it leave you if you moved? I'd be willing to give that a shot.
I would, you know,
because I would never be able to sleep there again.
It seems a lot of times when you have these things that are almost angry that you're there, that it's territorial almost, and you're in its territory. And I would almost say more times than not, when it gets really dark and violent and threatening, that leaving usually is the solution, that it wants its space. It doesn't want you there, and it doesn't seem to leave those spaces. It may then torment the next person that comes in, but quite often it seems like the lighter type hauntings, ghost light, if you will, like the Pepsi Free, is the type that seem to kind of follow you around. The ones that aren't so invasive or so evil, if you will, those seem to be some of those that are more, I'm going to continue to follow you. Every time we hear the dark stories, or at least a good majority, they seem to be very territorial. And if you're in their space, they're going to do whatever they can to get you out.
But she didn't say that it happened again, did she, in that home?
I don't believe so. unless it's still going on and she just kind of has gotten used to it. I don't know. I could never make...
Which, how could you?
Yeah, I could never be comfortable. Even if it calms down, it would still be like always in the back of your mind. Like, is it going to happen tonight? Is it going to happen again?
It would be like living in a home with a known serial killer.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I know Bob's a serial killer, but... Yeah.
It's like, he's been really nice the last...
He might try to kill me or not.
Last 7 years, he hasn't done anything. He's been really good. You know, he...
At least in the house, as long as he takes it outside.
Really enjoys that investigation discovery and all those murder shows. And I don't know if he's kind of like waiting to see him pop up on there or something, but he hasn't killed anybody. You know, there's a few small neighborhood pets that have gone missing, but let me give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think it's him.
That would be me, like... I can't sleep back in that bedroom again where that horrible thing almost happened. Like, I almost died.
Yeah.
Like, and if, like, in real life, if you had been, because I'm not saying, I don't mean that's not real life, but, like, say something horrific had happened in your home, you would move.
Yeah.
You would move. Like, there's no way if something horrible happened here that I would even consider staying.
I think, I mean, it comes down sometimes to just the financial ability to do it, if you can or can't. I totally understand that. Sometimes there's just no choice. Like, either you have dumpster behind Menards, or you have a roof over your head with haunted shit going on. I think most are going to be...
Oh, and I totally get that. I totally get that.
Most are going to go for the haunted. I get that. I probably would, too. And I feel horrible for folks in those situations, because it's like, what do you do? But I think what you do, it, you just kind of, you got to figure out a plan at least, and then start trying to work towards getting out, and don't sit there and, you know, be victim of it forever. You know, start working towards some way of changing that, even if it's going to take some time, because otherwise that stuff just, you know, that'll end up ruining your life. Creepy story. Thanks for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's get a caller. Hi. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hi. This is a pest from Ohio. Not naming names, but you probably know who it is. Thought I'd tell you a story, not involving me, but my cousin. When we grew up, we would get to see them every once in a while. And we were real close to the mother, our aunts and everything. But as she grew up, my cousin got married and was... He was happily married for a while, but he died. And it broke everybody's heart that he had died. And it took her a long while to get over that. But then she finally met another gentleman, and she became really happy. He wanted what she wanted, and they got married, but they moved out of where they was at to a different state. And she ended up getting sick one day, really, really bad sick, and she about died. And when she's in between that period of living and dying, she sees her first husband. And he goes, I know how much you want to see me or whatever, but you can't, because you're going to be very, very happy soon. You've got to... You have to go back. It's not your time. Well, she woke up from her days like sleep and not feeling very well, and she recovered. Turns out she was expecting a little one. And she was really, really happy about that. They both were. And she even had a cute name, but I'm not going to mention the nickname for the little one. And she never really, her newest husband knew the attachment that she had for her first husband. And it was sad the way he died, but she never really mentioned it to her little one. But one day, he was looking through some pictures. It was the anniversary of his death, and she said, oh, I got to go through some pictures and see about, you know, just remembering him and everything. and she went through it, and she goes, and the little one looks up and says, looks at her mommy, she goes, oh, I love, she goes, there he is. And he goes, she goes, what do you mean? That's my imaginary friend. That's her, my friend. Not imaginary to her, he was real. That's my friend. And she says, which one do you mean? Because she had a bunch of old pictures on her, and she points right at her first husband's picture. He comes and talks to me all the time, and he makes me laugh. And it kind of put shivers down her back, but it kind of made her happy at the same time. And his two little ones are receptive to seeing things like that. But I thought you would get a little glimpse of the little ones, how they do see things, which is true. Well, God bless. Talk to you later. Bye.
There you go. Deceased husband coming back to hang out and be a ghost and to watch over the kid.
I love those stories.
Yeah.
Those are like my favorite stories.
It's I think it seems, you know, in the terms of what we talk about, very logical. If that's a person you care about and you love and you died, you know, prematurely, you're still going to be there and looking out for them no matter what, you know, path they go down in life. You're wanting them to be happy. And that's a good story.
And I think, you know, I've heard a zillion, maybe not a zillion, I've heard a lot of stories in my life about similar situations. And on the show, there's been a lot of stories about that. And it, to me, it's happened to so many people, myself included, that it just makes you think there's something more there. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the fact that she would see him after he's gone and have that experience, and then the child has the experience, that is not an uncommon story.
My question is, it's always, I've had this question since I was little. You know, I grew up and, you know, I went to like a Lutheran church growing up, and the teaching is, you know, when you die, you go to heaven, and then you know, you're with your family, your husband, your wife, whatever. How does that work, though, when you have, you know, like one of them died along the way and then you got remarried? Not like a divorce, but like deceased, and then you're remarried, and everybody's in, if that's the belief system, if that's what happens, and we all end up in the other side, and then do you end up having like two wives, two husbands, or more than that, depending on what happened in life? Or do you have to like play win, lose, or draw and pick one? Or how does that work?
I think like if you really love somebody and you were to pass, that the one thing you would want would be for that other person to be happy.
Sure.
Like legit, not like I'm going away, I don't ever want you to get married again.
Sure.
Whoever that is, it could be a sibling, it could be your best friend, it could be a wife or a husband. You want that person to somehow find happiness again.
Sure.
And so, but you're also still really close to them. And so I get why you would want to kind of be there, like that kind of guardian angel type of figure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like that's pure love to me.
Sure.
That like the fact that the husband could say, no, you can't come here. You're not ready. There's something better for you. You will be happy. And then she is happy. And then the kids seeing the guy, you know, I mean, to me, it's almost like a real pure kind of a love.
But I'm saying once everybody's kicked it, everybody's dead.
And
everybody's on the other side. And it's like, we're all over here. And here's my two wives. Is that like, Is it still pure love at that time, or does it just turn into like really kinky love because you have two wives right there and everybody's dead? They're all here now. It's like, well, what's going on now, girls? I mean, what happens there?
You know, that's a really good question, and I'm glad you asked.
And it could go both ways, you know.
I don't know, but I really don't think like when you die, there's like a house that you all going to live in again, you know?
Yeah. I'm just throwing it out there. Cause that's always, you know, what it was kind of taught as. It was like, well, when you pass, this is, you know, you have your family and like, well, you know, how does that though reflect on life and how life, you know, went for you?
Then I guess you'd have two husbands. One of them being terrific. Who knows about the second one?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe really there's only the one guy. And the other guy was always kind of a jerk anyway. Then you wouldn't see him again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's one of those questions like nobody ever like really could answer, you know, when you ask it. It's like, it's just something that we'll have to find out.
Lutherans really don't believe in that sort of thing anyway. I guess maybe they will believe you go to heaven.
Sure.
And you see your family again, but you don't do anything like, you know, in the marital bed.
Like, everybody, it's like a giant church basement in heaven, according to the Lutheran. You know, you just go down every day and you have Lutefisk and Lefse, and it's a grand
church
old
church. Ladies are cooking up.
Yeah, that's all it is. You just sit there and it's an eternal potluck. That's.
And then there's service. And then there's potluck.
Yeah, and exactly. And then there's service. It just goes back and forth, just rotating over and over and over. No, I don't know. It was just kind of one of those interesting, you know, ponder this questions. But there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And that's going to wrap up our program for today. If you like it, become an EPP extra podcast person. Go to ghostpodcast.com. Sign up, $5 a month. Get access to all of our bonus episodes and advanced episodes and more at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol and Tony, thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.